Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and let me take a second to just thank you for joining our program. No matter how you listen, regardless of whether you're listening, driving down the road right now, standing in your kitchen, maybe you're on a treadmill, maybe you've got the iPod going, some of you are listening by the internet from different parts of the world, I want to thank you for joining us. I so appreciate our listeners, and I'm always delighted to hear from you. Well, today I'm going to interview Phyllis Hendry. She's the CEO of Lead Like Jesus. But I want to share some interesting news with you before we interview Phyllis today. You know, all of us now realize that we're in one of the most severe economic slumps since the Great Depression, and it's had a dramatic impact on our financial behavior. But I've never been quite sure exactly how much impact, but today I was introduced to a very interesting survey. It's provided by Securian Financial Group's Survey of Financial Values and Debt, and it found that in 16 months since the first survey they took, that Americans have made remarkable changes in their attitudes and behavior regarding money. The number one change is placing a priority on saving for emergencies. That has risen 8 percentage points since their survey 16 months ago. Spending has now less appeal than in 2007. Americans say they look for ways to save now on groceries, fuel, they dine out less, they buy less brewed coffee and tea, and they're more likely to mend what they own or buy things secondhand. And borrowing has become less popular. Americans' willingness to use credit to finance cars, to buy gifts, and for family vacations has dropped 6 to 7 percentage points. But this is interesting. Americans are not making progress in reducing debt. According to their survey, the amount of debt reported has not changed since the 2007 survey, except among baby boomers, and that's many of us listening to this program. Now, 1 in 5 of baby boomers who are in debt owe at least $50,000 on non-mortgage debt, compared to about 1/10 that owed that amount in 2007. So it's encouraging that Americans are spending less and saving more, but debt remains a significant barrier to financial security in retirement. Now, I believe that's why it's so important that if you're trying to change your financial behaviors, that you first change your financial beliefs. Turn to God, understand the principles of His economy, apply yourself to know His Word, and He will change your heart, He will change your mind, and your financial behavior will change. We're going to talk to Phyllis Hendry in just a moment. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the 4 critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I am privileged to welcome Phyllis Hendry, the president and CEO of Lead Like Jesus. Phyllis, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you so much, Chuck. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's my privilege to introduce you to our audience. Tell us a little bit about the organization that you actually lead.
Well, thank you. Well, Lead Like Jesus is a ministry that was co-founded by Ken Blanchard and Phil Hodges. And Ken, most people would recognize Ken's name as the author of The 1 Minute Manager, and he's written about 42 other books since then. But Ken became a believer late in his life. And what he learned when he read, he would say the red print specifically, because he wanted to know what Jesus did as a behavioral scientist. So Ken looked at the red print, and he said what was so amazing to him is that Jesus did everything he talked about in leading but he did it perfectly. And, you know, with those 12 kind of incompetent guys that he had, that was pretty amazing that he took those men and really able to turn the world upside down. So Ken began to study, what would it look like if we could lead like Jesus? And out of that came teaching, workshops, and then finally a book called Lead Like Jesus. And so it's just been such an incredible journey to see how God has used this message to really impact people around the world.
So, Phyllis, what's the primary mission of Lead Like Jesus?
Well, that's easy. Our primary mission is to glorify God by inspiring and equipping people to lead like Jesus. And so our prayer is that everyone will know someone who leads like Jesus.
You know, as I think about Ken Blanchard, a behavioral scientist, reading the red letters of the scripture, I'm wondering what jumped out at him that he thought immediately made Jesus such a great leader.
Well, I think the first thing is that Jesus was such a great follower that he wanted to please the Father. He had one audience, and in that one audience, he did everything that he could to please the Father. He says, remember in his prayer in John 17, that he had done everything that he had been called to do. And so I think Ken saw that first, and then he saw his love, the love that he had for the people around him. I mean, what amazing love. He cared about everybody that he was in contact with, and then his great desire to serve. And then lastly, but certainly not least, was the results. I mean, you think about what Jesus did, and now here over 2,000 years later, he still has over 2 billion followers. And so he is absolutely the greatest leadership role model of all time, and that's what really impressed Ken.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still impressed.
Me too.
You know, Phyllis, there are a lot of people who listen who might not consider themselves as leaders. Do you believe that anyone can be a leader?
I really do. I believe that we all are leaders. And, you know, in our book and in our materials, we talk about organizational leadership, and we talk about life role leadership, and we define leadership. We say that leadership happens anytime you influence the thinking, behavior, or development of another person. So you can see, Chuck, when you start to think about leadership, leadership is influence. And we all have influence in so many places, in so many ways, even in the moment-to-moment decisions that we make. And so we are leaders. And so the call to lead like Jesus fits everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I was raised in my home by my parents. They said I'm either leading as a good example or I'm leading as a bad example. but I'm leading in one way or the other.
That's exactly right. I agree.
You know, Phyllis, you wrote a great article titled Journey to Wholeness, and it's about how our beliefs shape who we are. Tell me, how do our beliefs about God shape us? Unpack that article for me.
Chuck, I was in church before I was born, and so, you know, all my life I was in church hearing about God, and one day I was reading a book, and I can't even tell you now the name of that book, but I can tell you the statement that stopped me. And it was a statement by A.W. Tozer, and he says in this statement, what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. And I began to think about how what I believe about God has shaped me, and I believe shapes us all. If you see your life as a continuum and you believe that in the very beginning we come from the heart and mind of God, and in the end we're going back to God, that changes everything in between. And so I believe that the way that it shapes us is it defines us. It defines what we believe in terms of how we treat others. I believe it defines us in the way we want recognition, the way we, even the way we do our finances. What do we believe about God with finances? I think it also shapes how we believe about work and how we treat others at work and about mission and purpose. And so I believe that our beliefs about God shape everything about us. They define who we are from the very beginning to the very end.
Well, you know, Phyllis, I couldn't give you a bigger amen. First of all, A.W. Tozer's had a huge impact on my life, and I hope our listeners will begin to read the work of A.W. Tozier. He's written so many things that are wonderful. But secondly, to understand that what we believe about God is so vitally important. And I've said that over and over on the program, that what we believe about God shapes how we handle money. Knowing God and understanding who He is more important than understanding financial skills. And your position is certainly reinforcing that. How can we change our beliefs? Is it possible? And have you seen people radically change what they believe?
Well, I have seen people radically change their beliefs, but it's a decision, Chuck, I think. And especially when you begin to see the value of changing your beliefs. You know, we don't change often until we see a value in changing. But one of the things that I think helps us so much is there's a wonderful story about the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and they train people in anti-counterfeiting work, and they never let a trainee see a counterfeit bill. They know only one genuine type of $10 bill exists, for example, and they so thoroughly study the real bill that anything that doesn't measure up to that, they know is counterfeit. And I believe that when we are looking at Jesus and we see all about Him and we begin to know Him and learn of Him and have this intimate relationship with Him, that the beliefs that we have had, that He transforms our thinking, that being with Him is the transformation agent. You know, He's the transforming power for all of us. And so our beliefs can change, but I believe that that comes through this awesome intimacy with Christ.
Well, we're talking to Phyllis Hendry of Lead Like Jesus, and we'll be back with more from Money Life.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Phyllis Hendry, the CEO of Lead Like Jesus. And Phyllis, when we left off, we were talking about how we change our beliefs, and your answer resonates with exactly what we're taught in the Scripture in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it's so important with what we believe, especially about God. And then we can be unconformed to the world. And that's so important, especially in the area where we teach of how you handle money. Because if you don't get your beliefs of God right, then you're going to be trapped by the forces of the world. And you can't get unconformed to the world, which is being transformed by God, until you change what you believe. So I totally agree with you, Phyllis. You know, so many people struggle to identify their purpose in life. And that's an area where you have really focused on helping people. Why do you think it's so important for people to understand their purpose?
Well, first of all, the Bible is clear that whatever we do, we are to glorify God. So our primary purpose for everyone is that we bring glory to God. And so knowing that in the beginning, this is one of those core beliefs that I would certainly ask people to think about, consider. I think that's a core belief. And then because God promised us that He has a plan for us and that it's a plan that we can walk in, we want to know what His plan is. Because what we know about God is that He's planned the best for us. He's planned the way that we have the most influence, the way that He wants our life to be. And we were all created with purpose in mind. And so knowing that purpose is so essential to us, knowing what our gifts are, knowing how God wants us to use those gifts. And some of the things that we teach in our Leadership Encounter Program, which is the Lead Like Jesus workshop that I mentioned to you in the beginning, is we talk about a transformational leadership cycle. And in the very first place, we talk about personal leadership. And we have to answer two questions there, whose we are and then who we are. And the whose we are has to do, of course, with who's our audience, who are we playing to, who's the authority in our life. And then the who we are is all about purpose and why God created us. And so I think everyone, Chuck, wants to know, what is God's purpose for us? Knowing that He has one, He created us all with that purpose. And so it's important that we seek that purpose and find that purpose. And one thing for sure, He's not trying to hide that from us. When we open our hearts and open our minds to Him, He will tell us what that purpose is.
Well, He did say in Ephesians 2:8 that we're created in advance to do good works, that He prepared us in advance to do good works. So it is a matter of just identifying that purpose that He prepared for us and going for it. And I know so many people who think about leadership, and especially spiritual leadership, think they need to go into ministry to do God's work. What's your perspective of that, Phyllis?
I believe when a Christian walks into a room, that the work is there. Wherever we are is where God wants us to work, and that may be in a full-time ministry position. It may be in a library. It may be in a classroom. It may be in a car wash, but wherever it is, if you go in with the attitude that you are serving God there, there'll be lots of opportunity to do that. So I think that we have often felt that we have to be in some sort of full-time ministry to really be pleasing God. But that, I don't believe that's true, and I don't think that that's biblical. God teaches us that He has a plan for each of us, and it's different. There was only one burning bush, and God has a specific plan and way for our life.
And Phyllis, you introduced me to a term earlier in the broadcast called life role leadership. And when we're fulfilling our role in life, whatever God's called us to be or whoever it is that He's called us to serve, we're truly doing our ministry, aren't we?
Absolutely. And that's the work that God has called us to do. And so when we think about as a parent or a grandparent, that life role, that position that God has given us and the people that He has placed in our life are truly part of our ministry and part of the calling that God has placed in our life.
Well, in your organization, you train leaders all over the world. Can you give us some examples of great servant leadership in a business context?
Well, I can. You know, I think, first of all, the question as a servant leader would always ask, what's the most loving thing to do? When you're making policy, when you're setting up the different kinds of things that you might do in a company, even when you're setting vision and direction, then setting those policies so that all benefit, that people grow together, that people begin to know each other. And in servant leadership, we talk about having relationships and getting results, because we believe you can have both if you lead like Jesus. And so in servant leadership, your heart is to serve. And say you are a supervisor in a business or a CEO in some way, and you start to think about your role is certainly to cast vision, and not in a vacuum, but certainly you are responsible for vision. But once that vision is cast, then that pyramid is turned upside down, and your job as the leader is to serve everyone else to be sure that the vision can be accomplished. And so it's a heart change, it's a thinking change, that as a servant leader, you are there to serve. You are there to make sure that everyone has everything they need so that they can accomplish the vision that was cast.
Well, Phyllis, it's been a pleasure to have you. How can our listeners stay in touch with you?
I would love for them to go to our website at leadlikejesus.com and know more about Lead Like Jesus. And I'd be happy for them to email me, and I would be glad to answer their questions. And that's phyllis.hendry@leadlikejesus.com.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on Money Life, Phyllis.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Chuck.
And God bless you. You are listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I so enjoyed what Phyllis Hendry had to say. If we're going to lead like Jesus, we have to follow His model. And this ties together with some of the things I was talking about in the first part of this program. If you want to change your financial behavior, then use Jesus as your model. It could be as simple as opening your Bible and looking at what He said. And here's something Jesus said about money. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Listen to this. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, the Lord didn't say that it would be difficult to do that. He said it's impossible. It's impossible to serve two masters. And He identified the one that most often competes with Him. And it's money. And so if we're going to lead financially, if we're going to apply God's truth and His Word in this area of our lives, if we're going to show others that we're different from the world, then we're going to have to follow what Christ said. And I want to apply the things that Phyllis just taught us to being a financial leader in your home. First of all, she said Jesus was a great follower. And in this case, and according to this verse, if you're going to be good with managing money, you have to be a great follower of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, being financially free is not the objective of life. Also, having good things on earth is not the objective of your life. Simply getting by and paying the bills and getting up every day and kind of being nice, that's not the objective of your life. The objective of your life is to be a sold-out follower of Jesus Christ and to glorify Him with every decision that you make. So be a good follower. Second is to abide by His principle of love. Love God more than things. Love God more than money. Love God more than anything that's material. If the world is going to lose its grip on you so that you can get out of debt, so that you can save money and learn to be generous and experience the joy that God puts you on earth to accomplish, then love Him more than things or money. And then the third point she made is a desire to serve. So who's your master? Who do you want to serve? Are you serving God or money? And I can tell you this, if you're in financial bondage, you have no choice. Right now, you're serving money. So work hard to get free from financial bondage. Not so that you can say that you're rich, not so that you can say that you're powerful or important, or that you're distinguished from other people or better than other people, but that you can be free to completely love and serve God. And then finally, she said, focus on results. You can do it. By trusting God and following His ways and renewing your mind with His truth, you can be transformed. You don't have to conform to the pattern of this world. You can be set free, and I hope you do it. Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.